So,
and congratulations to Principal Angela Smith at Franklin Middle School. I know Angela very well.
Right.
She was invited to the White House. She's going to get to meet the president,
today. She has some time on the podium to talk about, you know, revamping the No Child Left Behind.
So. Well, her daughter's a cheerleader for Centennial.
Okay.
So Angela is going to have stories next week. We'll try and talk with her.
Okay, great.
A little about her trip to the White House.
And Gracie's involved in homecoming.
Yep. She made the freshman attendance.
Oh, so
we'll be at the parade today. The pep rally, all those great things going on. It's a busy, busy deal, but what fun. And then later today, there's a ribbon cutting. That's why Brother Johnny's in town. Ribbon cutting in honor of my dad at Newmark, which is the engineering building on campus. Illinois and engineering, synonymous with the best.
Oh, sure.
Civil engineering, which what my father was. And my dad came to America, and he couldn't speak English. He came aboard a troop ship in 1945. He had to sleep on the top deck in the rain. He didn't know anybody. And came here, did not speak the language, learned it on the way. He spent his 21st birthday on the ship. He got off in San Pedro, California, right in L.A., and made his way by train across the country, came all the way to Champaign-Urbana, knew there was opportunity, but was by himself and forged his way. Spent 42 years at the university, bachelor's, master's, Ph.D., and his first Ph.D. student that he helped guide was the man who built the Sears Tower. My dad used to say, I like to think he succeeded in spite of me.
Okay.
But and I wish everybody would have, you know, not everybody has fantastic, incredible influence from parents. I wish and would pray that everybody would, because it makes a huge difference if you have a mentor.
Sure does.
If you got somebody. So today, ribbon cutting in honor of my dad, Kachaturian Hall, which is within the Yay. Dr. Yi will be in town from Hong Kong.
Wow.
And there's going to be a whole building name for him. And then the Kachaturian Hall will be in there. And I hope with Dad's picture. I haven't seen anything. So looking forward to being there for the ribbon cutting today.
Congratulations.
I'm just thrilled to be part of this. I didn't do anything. I'm blessed to have a mom and a dad like I've had.
Yeah, me too.
But, Gene and
Betty Lou
mm-hmm. were just awesome influences as well.
That's right.
So we've both been very, very blessed to have that. So today we'll be out there at 345. I think that's at Matthews and Goodwin. Isn't that where Newmark is?
I think so.
That's right near where the old baseball stadium used to be. U of I used to play baseball
right.
in that field where all the buildings are now before they move over to near BFL.
And right on the edge of the quad. It's,
yep.
Kind of the engineering nook.
Yep, exactly. And boy, engineering here at the University of Illinois, second to none.
That's right.
You got your MIT and your Berkeleys and stuff, but yep. U of I is in the conversation either 1, 2, or 3, depending on how things are ranked. All right, we've got news coming up from Fox. On Fridays, we get together with America's best political satirist and humorist, and eveningwiththepresidents.com to learn more about Bill Melberg, a U of I alum. And once again, we say good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Stevie. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
And good morning, Connect FM listeners.
Bill, this has been quite a news week, hasn't it, sir?
Stevie and Diane, it certainly has. And since our last visit 7 days ago, President Obama issued a statement in the Rose Garden on Monday demanding that millionaires, billionaires, and corporate jet owners pay their fair share and calling on Congress to raise their taxes. On Tuesday, President Obama traveled to New York for the opening of the United Nations General Assembly. At the UN, Mr. Obama faced a messy situation in the Middle East over the issue of Palestinian statehood, a messy situation he helped to create. The president also caught some flack for waving at the camera when a group photo was taken of world leaders at the UN.
That's right.
The president's right hand covered the face of one of those leaders.
Oh.
On Wednesday, a missing moon rock was discovered in former President Bill Clinton's personal files. Thursday evening, the Republican presidential candidates had another debate in Florida, joined this time by a ninth contender, former governor, what's-his-name, from New Mexico. Earlier in the day, the stock market took another plunge as investors continued to express their lack of confidence in President Obama's economic policies. And speaking of plunges, sometime today, a large NASA satellite is supposed to fall out of the sky, break up into several pieces, and come crashing back to Earth.
Wow, great job.
Wow, what a week. I mean, what a week.
Whew.
And before we get to the political news, let's talk a little bit about that satellite. A satellite's supposed to come crashing back to Earth like a falling star.
Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket. Never let it fade away. Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket. Save it for a rainy day.
Joining us now is an expert on satellites and orbital mechanics, Dr. Arnold Heimerdinger from the Space Debris Office of the Orbital Mechanics Institute. Good morning, Dr. Heimerdinger.
Good morning, Stevie. Hello, Diane. It's good to be with you. And I welcome this opportunity to calm your fears.
Well, we welcome this opportunity to learn some more about the satellite and to find out if we have anything to fear.
Well, Stevie, as Franklin Roosevelt once said, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. The chances of any individual being hit by a piece of the satellite are a trillion to one. Of course, the way President Obama is spending money, a trillion is no longer such a big number.
Dr. Heimerdinger, I want to ask you about the satellite itself, but first, I want to ask you something about yourself. Has anyone ever told you you sound a lot like Arnold Schwarzenegger?
You know, I hear that all the time. And I can never understand why, because I don't look anything like Arnold Schwarzenegger. But I suppose it's because I have a slight German accent, and because my name is Arnold, and because I also happen to be from Austria. But he's the movie star, I'm the rocket scientist.
Well, speaking of rockets, Dr. Heimerdinger, please tell us about this satellite.
Well, the Upper Atmosphere Research Satellite was sent into orbit aboard the Space Shuttle Discovery 20 years ago to study Earth's upper atmosphere, especially the ozone layer. It was decommissioned 14 years later, and now it is about to make what we rocket scientists call an uncontrolled re-entry back to Earth.
Why is it called uncontrolled?
Because we can't control it. So we don't know where it's going to hit. But our best guess is that wherever it hits, it's going to hit sometime this afternoon.
How big is this satellite?
Oh, not that big. It's about the size of a bus. And it weighs 13,000 pounds. But as it re-enters, it will break up into smaller pieces. So the heaviest piece probably won't weigh more than, 350 pounds.
350 pounds? Gosh, I'd hate to have that piece fall on me. How are we supposed to protect ourselves from something like that?
Well, Stevie, if you live near a cave, my advice would be to stay in the cave today. Or if you live near a subway, this might be a good day to take a ride underground. Otherwise, stay in your basement. And if you must go outside, wear a football helmet if you have one. But remember, your chances of being hit are just one in a trillion, so I wouldn't worry about it too much. However, if you hear someone shouting, "The sky is falling, the sky is falling," you should probably duck and cover.
Well, on that reassuring note, I want to thank you for being with us, Dr. Arnold Heimerdinger. And please keep us posted if there are any late developments.
I will.
Right now, we want to turn our attention to this week's political news. So let's bring our regular point-counterpoint team of Senator John McCain, Republican Arizona, and Congressman Barney Frank, Democrat of Massachusetts.
Good morning, Stevie. Good morning, Diane.
Hello.
Hello, Stevie. Hello, Diane.
Hello.
Hello, Connect FM listeners.
Gentlemen, last night the Republican presidential candidates had another debate. The debate was held in Orlando, Florida, and this time a ninth contender was on stage, the previously mentioned Governor What's-His-Name from New Mexico. Your reactions to the debate. Let's start with Senator John McCain.
Stevie, on the whole, there weren't any fireworks. All of the candidates agreed that President Obama must be defeated, All of the candidates agreed the economy is the number one issue in this campaign. And once again, my friends, the real debate seemed to be between Governor Rick Perry of Texas and former Governor Mitt Romney of Massachusetts.
Congressman Frank.
Well, Stevie and Diane, I agree with Senator McCain. There weren't any fireworks. It did seem to be a debate primarily between Rick Perry and Mitt Romney. And at one point, I thought it was a book review program with Rick Perry and Mitt Romney reviewing each other's books.
Well, we have a clip from that exchange. It started with a question from Megyn Kelly of Fox News to Governor Rick Perry about Social Security. Let's listen.
Governor Perry, Governor Romney has been hammering you on your idea of turning Social Security back to the states repeatedly. Can you explain specifically how 50 separate Social Security systems are supposed to work?
Well, let me just say first, for those people that are on Social Security today, for those people that are approaching Social Security, they don't have anything in the world to worry about. We have made a solemn oath to the people of this country that Social Security program in place today will be there for them. Now, it's not the first time that Mitt's been wrong on some issues before. And the bottom line is we never said that we were going to move this back to the states. What we said was we ought to have as one of the options the state employees and the state retirees, they being able to go off of the current system onto one that the states would operate themselves. As a matter of fact, in Massachusetts, his home state, almost 96% of the people who are on that program, retirees and state people, are off of the Social Security program. So having that option out there to have the states, Louisiana does it, almost every state has their state employees and the retirees that are options to go off of Social Security. That makes sense. It's an option that we should have.
Governor Romney, you're satisfied with that?
Well, it's different than what the governor put in his book just 6 months ago, and what you said in your interviews following the book. So I don't know. There's a Rick Perry out there that's saying that almost to quote, it says that the federal government shouldn't be in the pension business, that it's unconstitutional, and it should be returned to the states. So you better find that Rick Perry and get him to stop saying that. Now, my own view is that we have to make it very, very clear that Social Security is a responsibility of the federal government, not the state governments. We're going to have one plan, and we're going to make sure that it's fiscally sound and stable. And I'm absolutely committed to keeping Social Security working. I put in my book that I wrote a couple of years ago a plan for how we can do that to make sure Social Security is stable, not just for the next 25 years, but for the next 75. Thank you.
And I would like to respond to that.
Go ahead, Governor Perry.
Speaking of books and talking about being able to have things in your books and back and forth, and your economic advisor talked about Romneycare and how that was an absolute bust, and it was exactly what Obamacare was all about. As a matter of fact, between books, your hard copy book, you said that it was exactly what the American people needed to have that Romneycare given to them, as you had in Massachusetts. Then in your paperback, you took that line out. So speaking of not getting it straight in your book, sir, that wouldn't be a good one.
All right, Congressman Barney Frank, your reaction to all this, sir?
Well, Stevie, I wouldn't read either of their books with all their right-wing radical propaganda. But on a positive note, Governor Perry and Governor Romney both impressed me with their well-tailored suits and their rugged good looks.
Senator McCain?
Stevie, I think that exchange was typical of what we'll be hearing from now on. Governor Perry quoting Governor Romney's book, Governor Romney quoting Governor Perry's book, and both of them enjoying increased book sales as a result. But here's the comment that really caught my attention this week. This is what President Obama said in the Rose Garden on Monday.
And it's only right that we ask everyone to pay their fair share. Pay their fair share. Pay our fair share in taxes in a way that is fair. Pay their fair share. Pay their fair share in taxes. Pay their fair share. It's also about fairness.
I don't know about you, my friends, but I get the impression President Obama wants to raise my taxes.
Senator McCain, once again, you had the last word for today, because it's time for us to take a short commercial break. When we come back, political humorist Bill Melberg will be bringing us up to date on President Obama's new tattletale website, AttackWatch.com. 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 So stay tuned for that campaign news right after these important messages. 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. We're back with political humorist Bill Melberg. And Bill, the Obama campaign's new website, AttackWatch.com, was still in the news this week.
Yes, it was, Stevie. And I might remind our listeners that AttackWatch.com is the website which invites Barack Obama's supporters to report anyone who says anything negative about the president to the White House.
And following up on the ad that we played last week, here's the latest ad from AttackWatch.com.
Greetings, friends, and welcome back to AttackWatch.com. Since broadcasting our previous message, tens of thousands of President Obama's friends and supporters have been telling us about our dear leader's enemies and detractors. Yes, you've been reporting their lies and smears, and you've been giving us the names and addresses of the liars and the fearmongers. Here's a typical report from Natasha in Urbana. Dear AttackWatch.com, yesterday I overheard my neighbor, Susie Q, complaining that she had lost her job, and now her home is about to be foreclosed. But rather than blaming her misfortune on George Bush, Susie is foolishly saying that it's somehow President Obama's fault. Just thought you'd like to know. Well, thank you, Natasha, for keeping your ears open and for giving us Susie Q's name and number. Here's another report from Phil and Philo. Phil writes, Dear AttackWatch.com, my boss, Mr. Jones, told me that he refuses to pay any more taxes. He says he pays enough taxes already. Moreover, Mr. Jones called President Obama, quote, a communist. Thank you, Phil, for your timely report and for telling us about your greedy, money-hoarding boss. We have his name and number, too. And rest assured, Mr. Jones will be paying his fair share, or else. Well, friends, keep your reports and messages coming in to AttackWatch.com. And don't forget, Big Brother is reading them.
Wow. That was another very scary ad from AttackWatch.com.
Oh, yes, it was, Stevie. Oh, wow. And, of course, it was another phony ad.
Yeah, of course.
For AttackWatch.com. Yeah. But, you know, a lot of people seem to enjoy last week's phony ad for AttackWatch.com.
Good.
So I thought it'd be fun to do another one.
Of course, the ads are phony, but AttackWatch.com is very real, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And much to my surprise, the website is still up. Mm-hmm. The Obama campaign really is getting people to report what they hear other people saying about the president.
Wow, scary, scary.
But please don't quote me.
That's right.
Especially to AttackWatch.com.
Bill, always a pleasure, buddy. Thanks so much. Bill Melberg, an Illini himself, an Illinois alum, and eveningwiththepresidents.com is his website. Diana Ducey, always a pleasure.
Enjoy the day.
I'm Stevie J. Thank you for listening. Go Illini at the football game. Big game for Illinois. And go Cardinals. Still not out of it, St. Louis.
Right.
We can do this thing. Stay with us on 93.5, 95.3. You're home for the Cardinals. I'm Stevie J. Again, thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.